right, it's time for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, David Gerwitz from Nenner Research. David Gerwitz, Managing Director at Charles Nenner Research, sees a market in the process of topping. At least that's according to the latest newsletter here from Nenner Research Center. Welcome back, David Gerwitz.
Chris, always a pleasure to chat with you.
The biggest problem we have is getting to the topicality because we like to chat so much before recording. So we've promised ourselves to stay on point here today for the listeners, at least initially.
Right. We won't let them know the ADD attacks at all. We'll pretend that it will. We'll keep it at bay for a while.
Sounds good. Tell us what you see. You see cycles topping here.
Sure. First of all, let me give you the background of the letter. Charles wrote that at a place you might have heard of called Goldman Sachs. Okay, he wrote a letter. And by the way, are you
that little shop?
Yeah, you've heard of them, right? So he was there 15 years. He worked for them, and your listeners should write to our site if they like this conversation. Go to charlesnenner.com and hit the button, contact us, and say they heard David and Chris chatting, and they get a free month of samples of our work. What's our work? Is what Charles wrote there, which is a one-page missive three times a week, plus Sunday charts covering stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, and economic indicators, which we're going to go through now. So at least that'll be kind of nice. I just sent it to you because I realized during the break between when we spoke before and now, you probably never saw it. I edited it. So as I always say, I take Charles's Dutch doctor cryptic English that he sends to me, and then I have to turn it into somewhat Bronx English. And so we'll go through it, and everyone will get a kick out of it. This goes out to clients in maybe 50, 60 countries. We send it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 o'clock, and Sunday night around 6, right before the Eastern markets open.
You know, we have a real global audience here. Precious metals tends to be more of a worldwide interest. And what I find interesting is that whenever we have you and Mr. Nenner on the show, our numbers just, they go crazy.
You know, we do. We send out to thousands of people to listen. That's why we mark the numbers. I'm only kidding.
Clearly, folks have a great regard for when they see the Charles Nenner Institute and Center. I mean, immediately it gets people interested.
Well, let me say something funny. Let me step back, and we're going to get to a question. We're already interrupting from the interruption, but I think it's important for people. This thing that Charles, we only do research. We don't manage money. So that's really nice. We're not interested in managing money. We just want to say what's going to happen because it removes the emotion of being in positions, number one. Number two, I used to be in the other side of the business raising money for some very famous money managers now that I won't mention who have run billions of dollars. And so I knew about the business from that end, but I never thought about research. When I met Charles, like 12, 13 years ago, being a trained athlete and talent scout from a guy named Red Auerbach that put the Celtics together years ago, and I knew him well, and I spent a lot of time with him over the years, I knew Charles was a genius, and I knew he was on to something. And I knew about the hedge fund world because I had been on that side, right, but I never thought about research. And he taught me what he does, and he was at Goldman, but he was an independent at Goldman, so we were able to start the business. I got him on CNBC about 7 years ago, which broke the whole business wide open. And the idea of predicting, right, assumes nothing's random. Assumes that things are predictable. And he, being a scientist and a medical doctor who discovered this while in medical school, right, so he's very scientific. And you, being a scientific mathematical thinker, appreciate it, obviously, Chris.
Sure.
You know, we've spoken about it because that's how you think. I went to a place called the Bronx High School of Science in the Bronx, New York. I'm going to be 60 next in April, but I graduated Bronx Science in 68. And I was a math person. I was a math major in college. So when I met Charles and we were talking quantum physics is what he uses for his target algorithm, cycles, which are from the Greek word circle, combining them using something by a scientist known as Fourier. I knew all this. I didn't know it as well as I do now. So it all made sense to me right away, you know, and that's part of the reason why I guess people enjoy Charles and I talking about it because we both come from another background, and he stumbled on it, and I stumbled on him. But nonetheless, it's right most of the time. It's the same algorithm covering stocks, bonds, commodities, and currencies. If you really think about it, the unified theory, you know, we talk about in math, it seems to indicate how things work, and it's very hard to get a lot of people, even though we do have a big following. We're one of the biggest research firms in the world, I'm sure. I don't check other people's numbers. They don't check ours, but I kind of know because of the places I'm in. They tell me who else they use and what they think of us, and we deal with family offices and sovereign wealth funds and institutions and hedge funds, as well as individuals. Not everyone has billions. We, as big as we may be, we have a tiny following because the world is 9 billion people. And the Far East, which now, by the way, is full moon trading right now, so that affects things. And then there's the Europe head, there's the South America head, there's the Canadian head, there is the Australian way of thinking, the gold. As you know, the Aussies and the Canadians were big gold people, and gold ran up for 10, 11 years, as you know. And then we said get out at 1900, which was very hard. If you think about it, 3 years ago, yeah. After that run-up, it just showed the top. We're near a bottom. When I say near a bottom, we're planning to buy next week.
Wow.
That's how close we think. I know you had a very smart guest on before. I didn't listen. It'll be posted. I look forward to it. But we think scientifically, our target was 1180 on the downside. We got there. So above, I just spoke to Charles before. He said above 1225, we're going to go long. And silver above 18, any close above, rather. We're going to try it. What's the thinking? Okay, and this gets more granular on what we wanted to talk about originally. Cycles from the Greek word circle. We look at a lot of stuff. Daily cycles based on ending daily data. Weekly cycles based on ending weekly data. Monthly, quarterly, yearly. They don't all line up all the time.
Oh, yeah, and you know, just to throw in there anecdotally, sure. You know, this is fractal in nature, what you're referring to.
It is. It's totally fractal.
And remember yeah. Benoit Mandelbrot, who I actually had an email correspondence with for years. Almost had him on the show. He was a little bit shy.
He was very shy.
Very big friends with Nassim Taleb, as you probably know, but sadly passed away before I could finally get him on the show.
Yeah, fractals, the essence of the fractal, and that's another show, another discussion, study this at length, because how do you look at a map, depending on what kind of fractal, but fractals, his whole assumption there is it's not random. So that's Charles's whole thing, too, it's not random, which leads us to a much bigger picture. If it's not random, then whatever people are doing, the Fed, Janet Yellen, Bernanke, Greenspan, doesn't mean anything.
But, you know, even Warren Buffett is on record saying, agreeing with you and Charles Nenner. I mean, even he says it's not random when he talks about how he's made a fortune on people believing in the efficient market hypothesis.
That's right. Yeah. He's so brilliant. Yeah. But so anyway, so the science, when we try and look at all the different cycles, we look at them separately. Long-term cycles of bottom for gold. No question. Doesn't mean the short-term has. But the long-term, and it just so happens, short-term is now, too. So we've been looking since July. Like, he'd been saying for a while, July's the bottom. Started at the bottom in July. We did two bounces during July, August, September, October. We're in October now, so we caught two bounces. We played SLV, and we played Newmont for, like, a 10% game. But it wasn't ready yet. Next week, the short-term and the long-term are bottoming. Long-term have bottomed. So we're going to try and go long, and I think it's a high percentage trade. And so that should make you feel better, I guess, if you're focused on gold strength. But it's not like it has anything to do with the overall economic system. It's not like deflation or inflation, because gold has gone up for both in history. So
right.
You can't just say one or the other. But anyway, and silver above 18, we're going to, however you express it on GLD or options or futures, that's all thing we don't really get into, but we think gold is bottoming, and 1420 on the upside is a very big number.
You know, this is interesting because there are some conflicting data points that we see in here. For instance, we had the XAU breakdown and silver breakdown below key support that had held up, particularly with silver, for over a year. I know you'd been watching that closely on a weekly and a daily closing basis. And as you may recall now, silver down about three solid weeks from that breakdown point, whereas gold on the other side of the spectrum has held above support around 1170, 1150 to 1170. Why don't you tell people what this might be and this relative strength?
Well, no, it's one of the pieces we look at is all the stuff everybody else does, which mm-hmm. is one of the things you were just saying. Moving average. Let's talk about 200-day moving average. A lot of people look at that for stocks, for bonds. What is that? It's a year. It's kind of a year cycle, the 200-day moving average. It's one piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole thing. But that's why we don't think that's the key point. Bollinger Bands we look at, MACD, oscillator. Again, we can talk about that at length for a long time. But Charles is an analyst, so he looks at all that stuff, which why it doesn't take 2 minutes, even though what we're going to go through, what I sent you, looks like it does, because you're factoring a lot of different looks. We hope when they all line up, we just assume that's the we don't know why they're lining up. We have no idea. But if they're all lining up, we just mathematically assume that's either a bottom or a top in whatever field it is. And that's what we say. And, you know, we have thousands of clients. So obviously, they stay with us, so we must be right most of the time. And a lot of times, best to do nothing, which is the hardest thing for people. Be in cash. Don't do anything. I'm missing something. Good. Things can turn so fast that what you think you missed out, all of a sudden, it can turn the other way. And emotionally, that's what we try and do is remove the emotion. So anyway, do you want to go through the update that I sent you? Because I could do it in 2 minutes. Let me just tell people our Charles Nenner morning update, and then I'm going to give you two examples of our Sunday work, and then you'll get an idea what we do. So the morning update covers S&P VIX. For those who don't know, that's the volatility index, which has really been an incredibly accurate indicator for us. Canadian. You know, there is a country north of here. Then we have gold, which we talked about, crude, nat gas, which we're going to talk about, both, bonds, which are U.S. debt instruments, bunds, which are German debt instruments. I assume you people know this, but you never know. The review's not bad. And then we cover four currencies, which is how we express our dollar coverage, in the form of the euro, the Aussie, the Canadian, the yen, and then we also do the euro-yen. That is called a euro-yen cross, okay, because mm-hmm. then you get an idea from a non-dollar perspective how something else is doing. So we do that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, three times a week. Let me go through it of yesterday, what we sent. Yesterday. Give you an idea. So S&P, and I'm the editor, big deal. There's no change since our last update. When the markets rebounded on Friday, while they did, we're not convinced. Cycles are still down. The markets continue on the sell signal. And by the way, it's down today. Only closes above the levels given Friday or a short-term buy signal. And we go through S&P 1790, because we had called the top at 2015 or something. Close above NASDAQ 4050. These are all futures. Close above Dow 17,000, Dow's cash price. Close above Russell 2000. Close above the DAX, which is Germany, 9503. Close above the Nikkei, 16,265. Longer term, we expect to reach a tradable low by the end of November, followed by year-end rally. That took how long? 30 seconds. ADD. Charles used to write this at Goldman. It was daily. It was six pages. And the person he dealt with was the head of Global Macro Trading, Sir Charles. Just because of Goldman doesn't mean we don't have ADD. One page.
So executive summary, please.
One page. Nobody pays attention. We're all as technologically challenged as everybody else. So that's how he came up with this. The next thing we do is the VIX. We didn't cover this 3 years ago. The VIX has the volatility in it. And the VIX has been a dead-on indicator, so the VIX is up, meaning volatility is up. It's up until November. But however, technically, we just don't look at the direction, which is what cycles give you. Also, we look at levels. A close above 1250 gives a short-term sell signal from the VIX, so that'll slow down the volatility. But in the meantime, we had said a few weeks ago VIX was bottoming up, and sure, we got this correction. Canadian, no change. The TSX is on a sell signal from 15,000-something, came down to 14.9. Cycles are still down as a downside target of X. We called the TSX from 12,000 to 14. Got out, went down to 13.7 and up to 15.2. Now, how many people trade it, think about it? That's something we don't know. But I will say that listeners, readers, American clients, where I've tried to teach them, don't just do what you think you know. Because who cares? It's a bunch of numbers. We're strong in the Canadian buy it. It's the same way those three letters, TSX, IBM, you know. But that's, you know, because that's, in effect, betting on a system. Gold, I just talked about, and we wrote on Monday, long-term downside target of 1180 given months ago. Getting closer. It's early, but we have a daily projected cycle low by mid-October, which is next week. Close above Friday's levels, which we wrote. Our buying opportunity with tight stocks, which is 1225. When crude was 147, it was not that long ago, maybe 5 years ago. Charles was on CNBC, and he said it's going to drop. So at 147, he said we're going to have the D word, deflation, and it went down 100 points 6 months. We have no idea why this works. I'm smart. It doesn't make sense what it's saying. When Lehman Brothers was 35,
right,
and Charles was on the phone with the big hedge fund and said, I hate to break it to you guys, it shows it's going to 5.
And everybody was on board saying, oh, this thing is a buying, even Jim Cramer.
Yes, anyway, Lehman, we were wrong. It went to 2. But so the system says stuff. Like the other day when we were at CNBC, you mentioned to the producer, you know, I called the Fed funds 5 years ago. It's on our site, from 6 to 0. Exactly what happened. He said, look, the system's smarter than me. I had some programmers do. I gave them the idea. I told them what I thought, and they did it, and it somehow predicted it, and it hadn't done that kind of move in a long time. So the system is powerful. It's not always right. You know, and sometimes he's not on his game and maybe doesn't see it as clearly when he's combining something else. But it generally, it's been, you know, pretty accurate. Anyway, so the crude story now is that we're going to have deflation, right? Next year, he thinks the economy will be, well, he thinks it will be GDP 3% to the end of the year. Next year, there'll be a bond market rally. The economy will not be so good. We started our bull market, our bear market in bonds, but we're getting a reverse move for the next several months or so. But in terms of crude, we're going to start an up move in December. Downside target's 87.5. And he sees a six-month move that could reach 122. The markets, I'll tell you, Chris, I know I have a lot of clients in all the industries we're in also. So I talk to them. I have a lot of gold mine execs in South America, in Australia. I talk to them, like what's going on, peak gold, oil. I have a bunch of big oil guys. And I ask them, tell me what's going on. I have people, cattle guys. So I talk to the people of the areas we cover. And the oil guys say the world is afloat with oil. But according to cycles, they're going up. So we don't think you could always figure when there's a war in the Mideast, this will cause or that will cause. We follow the cycles. And then there's a target piece also, which is based on quantum physics and the decline in the trajectory of a propulsion of a bullet out of a gun. So it gets a little complicated, so it's not so. But we assume, like, the Elliott wave, everybody's heard of. It works. You have to, it's not so easy to interpret what's going on, but if that is prevalent in the universe in so many ways, it's going to be prevalent in markets as part of the picture, not as the main thing. That's why, you know, with all due respect to the work of the Elliott wave people, it's very hard to make that the basis of it. It's really a good thing to consider as part of the overall.
We have the Elliott Wave Institute. Believe it or not, is just down the street from the studio.
Right. That's right. They're right near you. And they're very nice people.
The nicest, yeah.
No, I know. They're like lovely people, but some people there, they're friends of mine, and they're very bright people. And we use it. It's just not our main thing.
Right.
Because it shouldn't be. Because it can't be. If you think about it, cycles are much more determinant than the waves. Because the waves are subject to interpretation. The cycles, which are, again, what is a cycle? It's a top-to-top, a series of top-to-tops in any data series.
It's a compression of an awful lot of information into readily assimilated illustration. So what it really does is it gives you, you know, we've all heard the saying, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right?
Right.
Well, a cycle's worth 1,000 words.
Right. Let me go to what we did on Sunday and read you the 15 charts we did fast. And then what I recommend is your people, your listeners, write in and they'll get to see what the charts look like because we send out the charts that we look at on Sunday. We send them to you so you get to see what we look like.
The executives are going to need to know about this because you have to start making contingencies for much higher fuel prices.
That's a six-month move. Let me go quickly and then let's go back to your question. J.P. Morgan, cycles top, but close below 50 eighths needed for a sell signal. When we write sell signal, it doesn't mean go short.
Right.
It means sell from longs.
And that's going to be a tough sell, isn't it? Because JPM is substantially higher on the year. I mean, it's been in a big
yeah,
move.
Yeah, but it's cycles top, right?
It's rolling over right here. I'll give you that.
Funny how this thing works.
Yeah.
We said weekly Hang Seng cycles, that's Korea, that projected the last cycle top are now getting close to a low. In order to cancel the sell signal, we need a close above 23.7. That's Korea. Now, it's interesting. Well, we'll keep going. Madrid, we covered. The cycles are projecting a year-end rally in Spain. One cycle's bottom. Home Depot, we saw a big move, but it's running out of steep cycles. Okay. Then soybeans, which we think will be a very strong weekly soybean cycles bottom. We need a close above 975 under the November contract to get a buy signal. People should definitely be looking at the grain area now. IBM, based on cycles, and everyone should write in. They'll get to see the charts. We expect to see more weakness in IBM. Sell signal continues. We have a downside of 175 or even lower. Ford's close to a low. Need a close above or 16. Chevron, from the cycle top, it's already corrected 12%. A close above 121.75 short-term buy signal based on cycles. Too early to get in. Cheniere Energy, Cheniere cycles are down. Close below 66.40 will lead to a much bigger correction. Crude. Weekly crude cycles are getting closer to their projected low. In order to cancel the buy signal, we need to close above 92. Conoco's still down. Coffee, which we've been nailing. Coffee. Thank God for coffee. Everybody loves coffee. Weekly short-term coffee cycles are still up. Now, in a buy signal, since it's close above 200, while we could see 230, if it dips below 193.50, it's a sell signal. Brazil, we've seen the high for the year, as we're saying about India. We have a big India email also that goes to lots of people over there. Agrium, which, of course, is the agriculture company. We saw the expected correction in Agrium that was warned about numerous times. It's corrected 10%. Cocoa gave its expected sell signal close below 31.40 cycles. Why do we cover all these different things? Number one, the assumption is the system works for everything, and it does. Number two, we get a lot of clients who are, you know, request things. We have different levels of service, and some are, you know, more interactive, and they ask us about stuff. Number three, on the weekends when the markets are not open, you know, Charles and we have, you know, a few other people that look at this stuff have more time to do this because it doesn't take 2 minutes. But the whole idea is we cover the whole world. In the course of a month, you're going to see a lot of different areas, and we can, in two sentences, tell you what we think. You know, in the DAX, in Israel, in XLE, okay, in Chesapeake, that was last week, live cattle topped. Close below 156.50 is needed for sell signal. Potash is down. McDonald's, we called the top. It's corrected 10 bucks. Real estate long-term has put in a long-term top, according to IYR. Goldman, shorter term, has topped. Longer term has also topped. Risk is rising. That was 2 weeks ago.
You know, listen, I cannot underscore and highlight this point enough when you talk about one or two sentences. Because, you know, that was one of the things we were discussing before the show here today, just how much we are bombarded with information, some better than others, one or two sentences, a nice chart, it's concise, we like it, we're buying it, we're selling it, yes or no?
Yeah, we think so, too. We give you a level, though, that it turns, because that's part of the science, and we're not right all the time, but it's usually right. And the thing is, we tell everybody, print these out, put it in a three-ring binder, so they have it, so 3 months later they can look back on what we covered on the Sunday, because we don't do the Sunday work every week, because that changes. But I don't know. We got lots of clients, and they stay with us, so they seem to like it. And I'm happy, because it's clear. You know, there's no question. You know, we say what we see, which is not easy to articulate what charts tell you. Because a lot of times you're right on the cusp, and the levels are holding right there. You're not exactly sure where it's going to go.
Switch gears here for a minute over to the precious metals on a longer-term basis. Has the work that you all do, have you all been able to get a big picture overview, not just, you know, maybe this year, but the next few years? Has there been a sea change in this market paradigm?
Non-wishy-washy, wishy-washy answer. We have one. The computer's telling us gold's going to 2,500, right? However, we also see a possibility. We got to get to 1420 and then get past there for that. That's what it shows us. So we say what we see. It doesn't mean, well, it's going to go to 20. We see it's going to 25. It may take a hit after 1420 down back up to 25 or may go straight through. But that's what it shows us. So longer term, it's going to go way past its highs. Longer term, S&P is down a lot. And then let me add to that, in the decade of the 20s, the 20s looks like it's going to be a tremendous rally in the S&P and the Dow. Like you're talking 10, 15 times. But the dollar will have been hit pretty bad starting end of this year, beginning of next year. And so the dollar-adjusted Dow value will be less than it is today. So even though it goes way, way up, according to us, at least then the dollar is lower. Whatever causes that, we don't know. And so it may not be, if you're in the dollar position, you'll have a great gain. But considering war cycles, which we have spoken about in the past, have bottomed 3 years ago, and you see around the world, Charles was one of the earlier people in the world to mention war cycles, there seems to be a brewing potential difficult time for the rest of the decade. Doesn't mean to go short yet. It could be quite a while, no. It could be cash to be in, which is something we are fans of, and a lot of people feel bad. Well, I'm not making money. Charles is Dutch. He says, better not to lose. And since a lot of people feel they've lost out the last 6 years not being in the market, we have not been long the whole time, but we've been long most of the time. He called the bottom. I'll never forget 2008. Things looked good. He said, get out of the market. And people were not happy. And the craziness at the end of 2008. And on Bloomberg, at the end of 2008, he said the bottom is coming beginning February 2009. So he called the bottom. But then staying long, and people were hoping crude would go up then because it would be an indication of economic activity. Now, if crude goes up, it's war, which just goes to show how cycles work, because depending on where you are in the cycle of time, the price is being influenced by the perception of the world at that moment. But nonetheless, it seems to repeat in terms of its reaction to the perception at that moment in repeating patterns. Let me give you a 100-year war cycle, which I don't know if I mentioned to you last time. I don't know. 100 years ago was World War I. 200 years ago was the War of 1812. 300 years ago was the War in 1718 or something. And this goes back at least 1,000 years. So every 100 years, second decade. Is it going to happen now?
What we're looking at is a significant cycle that has reoccurred for hundreds of years.
Yes.
How far have you taken this? I mean,
that's 1,000 years we have, of course. But we have wheat data going back that long. We have interest rate data going back more than that. And our assumption is the more data we have, the more accurate we could be. So we really, you know, one of the things I'm planning on doing soon, God willing, is to get a series of podcasts out talking. When I interviewed Charles 3 years ago, I interviewed him. Why? Because I didn't interrupt him. You're a great interviewer, Chris, because you let people talk, but we're used to having 33.7 seconds, and then they're going to interrupt you. So, look, my parents met and married in Canada, so I'm on BNN all the time.
Half our listeners are in Canada.
Oh, okay, so then, you know, they'll appreciate it. I'm a bit of a hockey fan, and the Canadians will say you kind of have to hit us over the head with a pickaxe to make a dent in us, you know. When I interviewed Charles, I didn't interrupt him, because obviously we both know about interruptions, and we're both musicians. I said, Charles, tell me about this. And I just sit back. You're going to love it because you basically get Charles Nenner unfettered, giving a full economic explanation why cycles work logically. Explain this generation to that generation, because he really has a very big brain. You have a very big brain, that man. We're putting it all together now in like 4-minute segments at a time, because again, no one has attention span. So we'll send it out. We'll put it out next to Beatle concerts or something, so at least people pay some attention. I don't know. But that's so he really is a historian. So you want to talk about wheat 1,000 years, and people say, who care? Well, this 30-year interest rate cycle that we take a look. 30 years ago, rates were high. 60, they were what they are now. 90, they were high. 120, they were low. That 60-year cycle in rates, which is bottoming now and will take another probably 6 to 9 months to start going, but will for the next 30 years, this goes back a long time. You know, that's kind of what we see. Bond prices will be down. Not yet, but maybe 6, 9, 12 months from now for the next 2.5 decades, which makes sense because how low can they go?
Yeah, but think about what a paradigm shift that is for the typical listener and investor.
Right.
I mean, that can be half of your portfolio.
Oh, for sure. I'll tell you another thing. Go 30 years, go 1981. Yeah, I think I mentioned this once, and buy a 30-year bond at 16%. And buy the Dow at 11, it was 1,000
right.
something. So 30 years later, today, 32 years later, both went up. The Dow went up 17 times, and bonds have gone up on that trade tremendous. You became a great golfer. Let's say you did that trade 7 years ago, and 14 and 21. So 7 years ago, the market tanked. 14 years ago, it tanked. 21 years ago, it tanked. So depending on when you do the trade, the bond trade has always been good. But the stock trade got knocked out 87, 2000, 2007. You know, 94 was not a huge knockdown, but it was something. So there's a seven-year cycle that seems to be powerful. You know, Charles is saying we won't be higher than 5% above where we are now for the next 5-6 years.
Interesting, but you know, I wonder if you're also including, you know, there's a war cycle too. It seems like almost every decade we seem, have you noticed that? I mean, the beginning of like 91, I think it was, 92,
yeah.
And then again right around the year 2000,
yes.
2001. And then, you know, here we are again with sabers rattling over Syria when they come
well,
back.
I would
when,
call that more than, say
yeah.
more than a pun. Sabers yeah. are rattling, unfortunately. They're chopping people's heads off.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's, humans seem to have repeating patterns that are almost inviolable. You know, obviously God runs the world to us, so, you know, that's not politically correct to say. So, it's not politically correct, I won't say it, but I did already, you know. So that's what seems to show up in these things because it's too perfect. I don't think the prime minister is the chooser of things. It's how we pick. Like when Reagan was in office, everything went good.
Yeah.
When Carter was in office, everything went bad. Now, it could be, as Charles says, we needed to elect a Reagan at the time and needed to elect a Carter at the time because things were supposed to head where they were heading. We needed someone to allow for it to be in whatever direction it went. But there's some very big things here. You know, how could he predict, like with Nat Gas, you know, I mention this a lot, that if prices went from 12 to 6, everyone think it would go up again, and then he said it was going to go to 2. Now, that gas, by the way, we think is going to take a while, but it's going to really head down. So we saw that gas go from, we said it would go from $6 to $2, and it did. And what happened was the Canadian banks lent money, you know, I've said this before, but I spoke to a Canadian bank. We lent them a lot of money at $6 value, thinking it would go up again, just like a bank makes a loan on a house. You know, you buy a $500,000 house, you put $100 down, they give you $400,000, 80-20. You know, you got to have collateral. Now, same thing with a loan to a company that has an asset called Nat Gas. But problem is the Nat Gas went from 6 to 5 to 4, and all of a sudden that loan was underwater.
Right.
Just like a house. Banks went to their Nat Gas clients and said, we got to start getting paid. And they start selling, just lowering the price, and the newspaper reported Nat Gas prices down because of forced pressure by banks. And we disagreed. We said cycles were down, and they predicted it. Whatever had to happen, happened, but that's not the reason prices came down.
My work on natural gas right now indicates $2.38.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm completely on board
yeah,
with
yeah.
you.
And it'll what do you see? When do you see it getting there?
I see it there, if I look at it here, 3 to 6 months.
See, we think a little longer. Yeah, we don't think it gets to that. Yeah, listen, it could be. You know, we just definitely don't see it going up. And it's interesting. Everyone, I always thought, what am I, a kid from the Bronx, right? Nat gas oil, why doesn't it go the same way? Well, someone explained to me, there's Nat gas and there's crude. And there's other things. We mine, they actually call it farming for Nat gas, farming for the methane and other things. We farm for the other things when crude goes up because the other prices go up. And in the process of doing that, forget about fracking and what effect that's had on Nat gas. In farming for those other things, Nat gas is there too. So you wind up with a lot of, from the process of trying to find other things. So that creates an abundance in that gas. You could have crude up and that gas down from that reason. I never thought about things when I started with Charles and I started talking to these. My problem is to make sure you occasionally listen to us so you don't lose it. So anyway, that's what we do, you know, Chris, and we have a good time because we don't manage money. So we don't ask people, you know, we charge a, you know, fee for doing this, but we don't want to manage money with all the responsibilities of that.
Put some smiles on precious metals investors' faces and let them know just what percentage you would recommend. I mean, maybe not officially, but what percentage would you keep of precious metals in your portfolio?
You
gold,
know,
silver?
Honestly, Chris, that I can't answer. It depends. Like, clearly, the last 3 years, none. But since we see an up move now, I could say everything. So it really depends on the time and the risk and how people sleep at night. That's a hard question. I've never figured out how to do asset allocation. Let's say I like that. I like grains. You know, you go into a rest supermarket, you need stuff. I like that. I like that. You got X dollars. Now, all I'll say, when the people ask the question, I say, listen, let's say you have $1 million, $500,000, $100,000, whatever it is. You can go to the bank and you'll make nothing. But at least it'll be there unless the bank goes out of business, right? So you have to factor that. If you follow cycles, that's my attitude is we cover a lot of stuff. If you bet our system, you'll probably be right most of the time. And you're not going to make 1% because there are moves that are not 1% moves, so you'll outperform the bank. You have to feel comfortable. So how much of your money will you bet on a cycle system, whatever you wind up doing within the system? Because here, we just went through a bunch of stuff. We could just hear some trades. Buy gold. Buy silver. Buy soybeans. Think about costs. You know, you have to know what to do, how to do it, future. You know, it's not 2 minutes to do all this. Having said that, we think, obviously, thousands of people like what we're saying because they use it. And with other things, everybody looks at a lot of different research, I would assume. But the allocation process really is a personal thing that people have to feel comfortable what they're comfortable in. And we always say get comfortable in things you don't know. Because stocks, you know, have had a good run. They're not going to have a good run for a long time. It's hard for people to accept it. Gold has had a lousy run and a lot of people stayed in. So if someone's in gold and it's down, are they going to buy more now? It's hard, you know? I mean, I would recommend they do it. So, oh, wait, I just got 50 grand as a bonus from work, and I'm down on my gold, and you want me to buy more?
You know, David, why don't you tell people more about this service and yeah. how they can contact you?
Just go to Google Charles Nenner, go to the site, and there's a contact button. Hit it and write a note saying you heard me and Chris speak, and you got a free month look on the research, and just write it in, and they'll watch it, and then someone will be in touch with them about the different subscription services we've got. We'll be in touch again, and I so appreciate it, as always.
We will.